You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. See, I gotta admit, I was kind of disappointed because when I heard about this, I was like, oh my god, they're finally making a sequel to the game. I'm so excited.
I don't know.
And I guess they are, kind of.
Well, it's like the game meets date night.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. It's like if we went to one of Randy's game nights and Randy was kidnapped.
Yeah, this is always my problem with Randy's game nights. Every time I throw a game night, somebody gets shot. Usually there are terrorists involved on some level. Randy's, we just play board games.
It's very strange.
I don't get it. It's like, you guys totally don't know how to throw a game night. But these guys in this movie, now that's how you throw a game night.
Hardcore with this. Yeah. Like, wow.
And they don't even break out the carcass on them.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no pandemic. There's no...
Destroy All Monsters.
Yeah.
King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo, of course. No, this is the latest movie directed by John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein, who you're like, okay, Chris, like, whatever geek boy, who the fuck is John Francis Daley and Francis Goldstein? Well, you don't know, but you've seen a lot of movies by them already.
You've seen a lot of
No, not hit and miss.
They've only directed one of their feature, which was the Vacation reboot.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. But
they wrote one of their
Spider-Man Homecoming's good. We like that one.
Yeah, we like a lot of
Orville Bosses is defensible, but I've never seen it.
I really like Orville Bosses.
There you go.
First one's really good. It's like I was watching Execution, watching Horrible Bosses. I never laughed once.
I enjoyed Burt Wonderstone, even though everyone forgets that movie even existed the second after they finish it. It's like a magic trick. You just watched the movie, and now you didn't. And now you will never remember it ever again.
The thing is, they are the writers of Spider-Man Homecoming, which in general, everyone at least said, yeah, it's good.
Mm. Two of the writers.
Of the what, 12?
Yeah, there's like...
Of the committee.
Of
the Sinister Six of them.
But here they're taking on a movie that definitely feels more than anything else in their oeuvre like Horrible Bosses did. You know,
yeah. John Francis Daley is also a former child actor. Sam Weir on Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Although
he
is seemingly completely given up on the whole acting thing at this point.
Which you can blame him.
Yeah, he seems to be doing good with this stuff.
It's hilarious in Waiting, too. I liked him.
But this falls around the completely charming together, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams. They've got such great chemistry that you're like...
I never would have expected that.
I didn't even realize that was Rachel McAdams until about halfway through the movie.
Oh, really?
McAdams, yeah. I was like, oh my God!
If you were going to find out that they started fucking when they were making this movie and like totally hit it off and now they're madly in love, would that surprise you in the slightest? Because they just feel like they really
are. They got
a good rapport
going. Yeah, they do.
And in the film, that's kind of the idea. We see them when they first meet. They're two very competitive people at playing various games, and they hit it off in a giant meet-cute.
They sync up.
Yeah, totally sync up. And it fast-forwards to their relationship, them getting married, everything else. And now they're at that point in the relationship where they're at the disagreement. Are we going to have kids? Are we not going to have kids? But it's kind of a little bit simmering underneath the surface. But the gaming goes on as they invite a group of generally feeling like they were written after the fact friends to show up.
There's room for improv in this cast.
Show up for their weekly game night where they play. I mean, I get the game night. I just don't get playing Scrabble and Life and Monopoly.
These people love these games more than most people should.
Like, I was like, come on. There are a better and
it's
other
taboo.
Things
Let's
out
get
there.
Real.
They have the licenses. Let's just go with that. Let's just be realistic about this.
I mean, product placement. I mean, let's face it. Wizards of the Coast can't afford product placement in this movie. So.
Exactly.
I don't know if there was any product placement in this movie. Nobody actually
Milton Bradley.
Said the name, or they never prominently showed any of the games.
Yeah,
but
they did.
Kind of got.
Yeah, they did. They did
Jenga, and then Scrabble and Life.
When did you see the
logos? There are three boxes.
We did.
I saw the camera pans
up right away.
It goes past them so fast that you can't actually read the logo. You just recognize the game of life
like two or three times.
Yeah, but he's also talking about the game of life. The life itself.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
Anyway, let me get back to the plot before you get me totally off. Anyway, his
phrasing.
His Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman is got a big brother, played by Kyle Chandler, which I can believe they're brothers. The amount that he keeps going, and he's much better looking than me, and he's smarter, and he's funnier. I was like, yeah, I don't buy any of that personally, but whatever.
Probably
okay,
we buy for the cooler of the two.
Buy for the purposes of the movie. But I'm like,
I can buy that Jason Bateman would think that Kyle Chandler was more handsome.
You might think it, but he's not. But
I could
not.
Definitely think why he would think that because okay. I'm the youngest of five kids. So
as men,
yeah,
that connected.
But no, I've seen women swoon over Kyle Chandler.
I don't get
way
it
way more than I've seen them swoon over Jason Bateman.
Part of it is I think Bateman's about 100 times better actor than Kyle Chandler is, especially in this movie. But
yeah.
Who I thought Chandler was pretty weak. But that being said,
like
he comes in
yeah.
driving.
Which Jesse Plemons of Friday Night Lights also, right. So we got a little.
He comes in driving this badass sports car that just so happens to be the car that was Jason Bateman's dream car growing up. You realize that the whole competitive thing that he's got kind of comes from him competing with his brother growing up. His brother's kind of an asshole, but says, oh, I've got the best game night planned ever. And he's like, oh, it's kind of like a murder mystery thing. I hired this company and they've got actors and they're going to come in and they're going to kidnap one of us. And then it's made clear, I would argue maybe a little too quickly in the film that, he's really been kidnapped. Something's going on here. Although there's a great, well, maybe the best scene in the film before they realize it as they're kind of fucking with the people who are holding him prisoner because Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are like, they're really good at games and they figure out, wait, why are we even going to follow this trail of clues in the murder mystery when he forgot to take his phone, drop his phone off? So all we have to do is track his phone and we'll be like, haha, we won. And they do and yada yada and a gun. That's not a gun and stuff like that. And a series of like, following kind of what everybody else is doing, but mainly following Jason Bateman.
Well, before we get too far into spoiler territory, I think this is a comedy that actually does have some things that you don't want spoiled necessarily.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's to its credit.
Right.
For sure.
I mean, the thing of saying like, okay, well, somebody really took him. That happens in the first act. You know, that reveal. And it kind of felt like, oh, that was going to be, they'd push that back even further into the film. But there are more.
It's within the second act.
It was very early. Like, it feels like the ending of the first act.
That's about the halfway
point. I mean, people go in there knowing that that's what's going to happen, though.
I don't know if that's true. It felt super early. I mean, we're talking about
really early.
We're talking about like pretty much right after dude gets punched in the living room, which was during the actual game night.
Is the beginning of the second act. So it's within the second act. So when they find out
I
don't even feel like it was the second act.
Bridge.
I feel like the second act was them finding out.
Yeah, because everything before that game night feels just like a prologue to me than the first act.
That's the first act. That's setting up the characters.
Well, we can disagree. I don't think a first act is a prologue.
We need to break out, save the cat.
All right.
Ultimately,
to me, it just felt like it was the ending of the first act because it was the setup and then the second act is the actual going into everything.
But as you mentioned, Jesse Plemons being in here, he's their neighbor who they don't
He's been ostracized because he's been through a divorce. It's really awkward. They kind of like the wife a little bit more than they liked him.
And probably a lot more.
He acts like a complete psychopath.
It's like he gets older and becomes Ferris Bueller's teacher because he's like the most monotone,
monosyllabic type of guy and
kind of dull person ever.
He's so goddamn funny though for some reason.
Oh my God. Like he doesn't really do a lot when you first see him, but you can't help but laugh at how
he plays it for real, which is all
this weird mix between being like that guy who's just so boring it's unbelievable, but he does it in a way that's threatening, which is strange.
It helps that he's a cop.
Guilt.
Yeah.
Like, don't you see me drowning over here? Don't you want to pull me out?
Yeah, he's like slowly petting a dog while during most of his conversations with him, and it's just unsettling.
That dog makes him all the more funnier. Oh my God, every time he held that dog, I couldn't stop laughing.
It accidentally adds a little bit of humanity to him at the same time. But yeah, it's just, oh my God, it's so good.
It's like his crutch, isn't it? Like his like squeaky toy in a way.
There's other characters in this movie.
There's the other couples who go through that, who have their own sort of mini arcs they're going through. Like the really stupid guy played by, what was that Billy Magnuson? Like their dumb friend.
Go-to stupid guy.
Who shows up, he really is. Yeah. Who shows up with like an incredibly gorgeous but unbelievably stupid lady on his arm at every single game night. The first time he's trying to impress them, it seems like. He's like, okay, fine. You make fun of me getting done, woman? Well, there's a smart lady I work with, and I'll ask her.
And she's British, but she's not actually British.
Irish. Yeah. Same island.
No, it's not.
She is, by the way, fantastic.
She is.
What did you remember the name of the TV show she's on? British show on that's on Amazon Prime.
So she is British.
On the name of it right now.
She's on.
I think she's pretty sure she really is. Oh, Catastrophe.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Oh my God, she's so good on that fucking show. Yeah. It's so funny.
Carrie Fisher's on that show.
I was on her playing
her mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Great show. Mm. But so she's like there, and they have a weird sort of like it's definitely not a meet cute, but it's sort of like, wow, are you actually trying to get these two people together? Because I kind of am a little grossed out by that.
I love them together. I thought they're so like polar opposite. They made each other so awkward.
It was one of those things like a sitcom does where like it's like, yeah, you don't deserve that person at all kind of thing.
Right. And basically that's all leading up to one joke that you see coming all the way through the movie, because he constantly keeps talking about Rich People Fight Club, whatever that's supposed to be. And you're like, okay, obviously we're going to see something like that at some point. The same is true, which is why I'm saying these other couples, they seem like they were kind of an afterthought. They don't have even close to the amount of interesting character development as our main couple does here.
I disagree.
Lamorne Morris and Kylie Bunbury really have one thing going. There's one thing in their whole thing, and that's like they admit during a drinking game that she had sex with a celebrity at some point, even though he thought she had never been with anyone but him.
Because
they've been, exactly.
Yeah, married since
and him challenging her. And then what that leads up to, which is a little bit of a funny payoff, but it wasn't
it.
Enough.
Funny.
I thought it was a great payoff. I was like, okay, that was, it was cute.
It's a great moment, and it even pays off after the credits if you want to stick around for that joke.
The only thing I'll give her, give that relationship credit for is that dude does a mean Denzel Washington.
He really does. I was like,
God damn, dude, that's a great impression.
You're talking about like how many references there are in this movie to other movies.
Oh my God, there's so many of them.
Yeah. And with great movies as well. And they really pay tribute to them. But yeah, I think you're right about the characters. They're not really fleshed out, but everybody here made me laugh.
Absolutely.
Like everybody here was given some jokes to do.
Everybody had at least a few moments.
Yeah, exactly.
And, whereas I will say every time Bateman and McAdams are on screen together, I'm kind of laughing or at least a little bit charmed. I felt like they so outweighed what everybody else was doing. I was like, you know, you could have almost cut everyone else out of this film
and just followed them
and it would have been just as enjoyable.
Well, the story very much is about Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams more than anything. Like it really is one of those things where they are just sort of side characters in the main plot. Even if they already are, but more so than that, because I felt like they were the supporting cast. They weren't the actual main characters, because it very much is about his relationship with his brother at the end of the day, which I like hit home to me a lot, actually, kind of thing.
I disagree. It's very much about their sense of relationship and how the relationship with the brother is getting in the way.
Yeah.
But the core of it is them and what he's allowing to get in the way of his future.
I feel like that's definitely how I feel about it. Their relationship is the central thing, and their problem standing in the way is that he has never been able to get past his feelings about his brother.
Maybe I have some
There's five children in my family too. I might have to work on some things.
I just killed my whole family. It was great. It was a relief. You should do it.
I thought you turned them into cats.
Killed, transformed, whatever. You say potato, I say monkey. This has a really interesting bunch of like almost cameo appearances by big name actors in it. Mm-hmm. Like Michael C. Hall, who was so skinny I didn't even recognize.
It caught me completely off guard.
It was like, Jesus.
Very lean.
Yeah, extremely. Jeffrey Wright, who's like, man, I'm a motherfucking Westworld. What am I doing? I love Jeffrey Wright. He's such a great actor. Also love Danny Houston, who seems like coming into this movie because he's Danny Houston. You're like, oh, we have our main bad guy. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, okay, well, I guess that was just a cameo then.
Yeah, we're kind of
like, bye, Danny Houston. Nice seeing
you. But he's a bit followed during it. He's like, what are you doing? I mean,
quit spoiling things, Chris.
It's no spoiler. He's just makes an appearance.
Okay, you can't set someone up as a bad guy and say, well, he's not really a bad guy.
No, like, that's kind of spoiling his role.
I mean, I think he is a bad guy.
Once you get to that point of the movie, you don't know what's going to happen. And then you just spoil that he's not well, actually bad
of,
guy.
I can't think of a Danny Houston role where he wasn't a bad guy.
That's the thing that's about true, this actually. Movie, though, is that, like, the
no, but, like, the main bad guy. He was just saying,
oh, yeah.
Well, the movie, like, because of the convoluted plot, there really isn't a central bad guy. It kind of dances around.
Okay, anyway, moving on. I'm just saying, let's not spoil it even further.
I don't really think that's a spoiler. But anyway, okay. Also Chelsea Peretti, who's playing someone who's pregnant, who appears to really be pregnant, because I couldn't recognize her at all either.
Well, she was off her Brooklyn Nine-Nine for a while because of that pregnancy, so...
And by the way, we said John Francis Daly wasn't acting, but he's actually in this, so never mind.
Yeah, he's got a cameo, like a
cameo, right?
Yeah. But a lot of great, like, little performances, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. For me, I was so charmed by the main characters... And then occasionally annoyed by feeling like not everybody else was on their A game here. I don't know.
I felt like that for one or two characters, the brother sometimes here and there. But honestly, everyone else seemed to be doing what they could. Although there was like one or two people among the couples that were felt like they weren't exactly giving their A game. But I don't think they were given too much to be able to do that with to begin with.
I loved everybody.
I still love them. I still love them. It's just that it's one of those things where, like, Chris is right about the writing for them, is that they are very much just side supporting characters,
yeah,
which
you
is fine.
What you're given, really.
Yeah, so, which is fine. At the end of the by the time the movie's over, I'm like, well, I still like every single character in this film. Like, you gave me enough to hold on to. Like, they easily could have just said, "Hey, this is my friend so and so," and never explained anything about their background in any way, but they throw a background in there so quick that you end up just going, okay, that's a guy. Like, you end up appreciating that person pretty quickly, because you don't need a lot for some of these characters. Like, the dumb guy, you know, he met the one character from his work, and the other two are childhood sweethearts. Honestly, that's all you really need for some of them.
Yeah, so, I don't care about
poor
that.
Poor George. He's trying to get it out.
Sorry.
So, I'm going to say, speaking of the writing, the only credited writer of this is Mark Perez, who's... hasn't had anything produced in a while, but is the writer of Herbie Fully Loaded and
The Country Bears
and Accepted. All great screenplays.
So nothing he's had.
I chuckled at Accepted.
Maybe
a
he
times.
Had
it. Accepted.
There's
maybe
a 0% chance
Jonah Hill and
John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein didn't do an uncredited rewrite of this from top to bottom loaded it with improv.
Well, I mean, for one thing, because this type, the humor that's in here, just the comedy tropes are. Really feel like the stuff they've written before.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I think you're right, George. I think it was one of those. Yeah we're right above. We're already getting it.
But I'm glad Mark Perez is getting work again.
Yeah,
maybe,
I guess so.
Maybe
this will reignite interest in the Country Bears too.
Maybe they've changed. Maybe their sensibilities have changed as writers or what their knack for comedy is. Because I swear, when I saw Horrible Bosses, I didn't laugh once. You couldn't shut me up during this.
I was
laughing so hard.
Yeah, I laughed a lot. Yeah,
I was off and on. There were points where I was just when I was starting to get like kind of like, yeah, all right. It would catch me off guard and you know, it would pull reversal, like as they say, and go, oh, I didn't see that coming, and it made me laugh. But overall, I think I was just those little moments. Those just moments when even no matter how bad things got, Bateman and McAdams – we're just so happy to be with each other. I'm just so
really
in love.
You really
want to
move with the two of them
I'm
now,
so
yeah,
in love with them as a couple here. Yeah, I'm just like, God. Wow.
Do we need
like,
to pull out a bungee cord to tie you to them?
Oh, right? I would do that. There's a scene where she's cutting a bullet out of his arm, and it's the most adorable couple scene I've seen in, like, forever.
And it involves dry heaving as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, you're going to make
that is in the trailer.
I don't watch the trailer.
Well, you have to be able to give away a certain amount of stuff.
Yeah.
You can't review the film. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. George, why don't you start with your very short, because you don't want to give anything away, final thoughts.
I'm surprised how much I enjoyed this. It was a great time from start to finish. Really funny. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I give it 8 out of 10 bungee cords.
That was short.
kidding, but yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Holy crap.
Very satisfying, lots of twists, and you don't necessarily even need to see them coming. It works anyway. All right, there you go. There's some more.
Well, no, I will say about the twist, though, that even though, yeah, you do see the Fight Club thing coming, you do see something else coming, but it's so...
But that's set up and payoff.
It is. It's so hilariously executed that, you know, you really don't mind, and I love that. This is a movie that keeps on going, and it keeps on going, and it keeps on going. It felt like we were there for over 2 hours, and we were barely like 1 hour and 40. But, I mean...
But in a good way.
It's in a very good way. It's so much in there, and it's so farcical, and it's so... It's great black, dark comedy that, yeah, it's hard to, like, it's hard to really dislike this movie, you know. I will say, though, that there are times when they do, they are trying a little bit too hard, but they rein it back in, after a while. It won't be to everyone's taste. There are people in the mainstream audience who will find some of the comedy a little bit harsh. But, you know, screw it. You know, screw them. This movie is really funny, and it keeps on going, and it's got a laugh a minute. It does. And, yeah, I've got no complaints about this. I love everybody in the cast.
You're just trying to get on the poster.
Especially Jesse Plemons. No, I got no, you know.
Laugh a minute, thrill ride.
No, listen, I am shocked because I got handed this at the last minute. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see it. I don't like horrible bosses. I don't like these guys writing their work. So I am really, like, flabbergasted.
Wait, are you a big fan of the Country Bears?
Well, you got me, Chris. No, that's good. No. In the end, I got to give this... I'm going to give this 9... I never give a comedy like this high, but I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 blood-soaked dogs.
Nice. Uh-huh. What about you, Dragon Ball Mike?
So I actually really, really like this movie a lot. I actually was looking forward to it a lot. When Chris said there was a screening for it, I jumped on that shit as fast as I could. I was like, it's mine. I don't care. So, but I actually was a big fan of the first Horrible Bosses, but I didn't... Like, I only realized that they had directed this, like a few days before the screening had happened. I really actually just enjoyed the hell of this movie. It does feel like their movie more than anything. So there probably was a lot of just them taking the premise and then just going with it, with what they do normally. Which I think shows for a lot of these characters, as well as some of the side characters. Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are just goddamn adorable the entire way through, from beginning to end. And you just can't help but love and root for both of those characters the entire way.
She still is, like, one of the most photogenic actresses in movies to this day. Like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. The trailer does sell a premise that I was a little disappointed at first that they, like, didn't throw out the window, but, like, it's revealed kind of early on what's going on to the characters themselves. And I was hoping for a little more of, like, cat and mouse kind of thing, or, like, almost Looney Tunes dumbness to them not figuring certain things out. But
it was kind of Looney Tunes.
But, like, the fact that there's so many twists and so many little things that happen right after that that you just can't help but still enjoy every little thing about those other characters. And end of the day, I would have to give it 8.5 out of 10 failed attempts at taking somebody out.
You know, it's funny that, like, there's a lot of things that I had expectations for this film because I loved these trailers so much. We were talking about it. I was like, man, it's weird that this was one of my most anticipated movies of the first quarter of the year. I was like, seeing this trailer going, wow, that is a fucking funny as shit trailer. Mm-hmm. And it is to its detriment because, like, which happens with a lot of comedies, all the best jokes from this movie are in those trailers.
Do you really think
so? I had already seen all those jokes.
Some of them.
I was like, God damn. Like the one with the dog, which was, I think, the funniest bit in the whole film.
The,
like,
tables?
I was like, huh? It's not really, but that's more of a side joke.
Jesse Plemons doesn't factor in the marketing at all. And
yeah, that's
the funniest thing.
So contextual, there's no way to put that.
Well, there's one joke that he does.
But there's a lot of the big jokes, a lot of the big plot elements that pop into that. And I also, you know, came into it as well with admitting that one of my favorite Fincher films is The Game. And I was like, I would have liked if this was even more like The Game, but a comedy. And
the source of one of the best jokes in the movie is the expectation at the end of The Game.
It plays with some of the people like me who come in wanting that to some extent.
Yeah.
I think to some degree, there's not a lot in here that's breaking totally new ground in comedies. But it does it well, you know, for every joke that's like, yeah, okay, there's one that you're like, oh, that actually was pretty goddamn funny. And a lot of it has to do with, as I keep saying, that couple in the forefront of the year. I'm rooting for you guys. I want to see you all together again. Let's see you in another movie. I don't know who you're dating, but they suck.
Let's wrap that up now.
Let's wrap it up.
You want some Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing to happen with this, don't you?
I'm shipping the fuck out of these two right now. You know, I mean, I would watch a second one, but then again, I think about how bad Horrible Bosses 2 was.
Oh my God, Horrible Bosses 2 is so bad.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
I I love Horrible Bosses. Yeah. I thought it was great.
To be fair, I think they only have a story credit on the second one.
Do they? I thought they directed it as well.
No.
No? Okay.
They directed, what was the other one?
They only directed Vacation.
Vacation, that's right. Which is not
feature they directed.
Exactly, very good either.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to like here, but it's not, you know, it's not breaking the mold on comedies.
They do awkward comedy really well in this
movie. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, at points. Yeah. And I mean, nobody better than Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Who's got that shit nailed down here. Like, he does something new with awkward comedy that we've never really seen before.
Totally.
I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. But everybody else, I mean, we're like, even like, you know, like, there's a lot of like meta humor in here to some degree. There's a lot of referencing, and nothing in there is like, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. It's very of the time. And that's great. That stuff makes me laugh too. But I came out of this going, that was fun. I'm glad I saw it in the theater. I'm not sure I'll watch it again. You know, I liked it. Didn't love it. I give it 7.5 out of 10 knives in bullet holes.
That's actually much higher than I thought you were going to score.
Yeah,
so,
it's not,
I'm actually like relieved now that these guys got Flashpoint.
George,
like,
it's a huge thing for me to even say I like a Hollywood comedy.
Comedies are.
We're on shaky ground.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys were just given Flashpoint, which considering the hands it's passed through to get to them, like now after seeing this, at first it was like, oh, the guys who directed the Vacation remake, why would I want that? But now I'm like, oh, wow, that might actually be good.
There's no chance a bunch of producers will get in the way of that being a good movie.
Yeah.
Come on. We are talking about DC.
Yeah. Well, that goes by without saying.
Yeah.